Hello, good morning and welcome to The Finance Show, tiptv.co.uk. It's 10 a.m. on Friday the 22nd of April and we're all ready to go. We've been told off by the President of the United States this morning. We have to do what we are told, and to discuss that, amongst other things, we've got Jenny Hammond, who's a financial journalist in the studio with us today. How are you this morning?
Very good, thank you. Thanks for having me. Well, the Brexiters are in outrage, of course, because Obama has, you know, put his two pence worth in about the Brexit. I wonder if it's actually going to work against, you know, it, because people don't like to be told what to do, especially the British and especially by Americans. So,
well, I think the Brexiteers are livid. Boris Johnson is obviously the chief of those, trying to be prime minister and everything. But the problem with this whole Brexit and the referendum is that there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in the media, but in the end of the day, people just, too chicken to leave the EU. That's the basic message, isn't it?
Do you think people are too chicken? Do you not think it's about managing expectations? Do you think it's likely in the end we will leave and that really there's just going to be a boost and everyone's going to jump on board? Best the devil you know.
Well, yes, that's right. But let's go on to the slides of the day. Tip TV, the finance app, available on the App Store and on Android. Please download for the latest programs and news. Also join the Tip TV family at official Tip TV. Again, updates, news, gossip of the markets, everything you need for the day. What's trending? In the oil market, the IEA says that normalized oil supplies will lead to higher prices. Obviously, we already have higher prices, what, $44, $43 a barrel?
It's not bad today.
So a bit of a shocker from the US. It's rather difficult to go bankrupt these days with interest rates near 0%, but SunEdison has filed for Chapter 11 protection, marking the largest bankruptcy in the history of the renewable energy industry. It's sort of boom to bust in just a few years, the green revolution.
Exactly, especially with oil prices doing what they're doing. It's a surprising thing, but there you go.
Well, I suppose it does make some sense, but still, going bust is not really what you would expect from that area of the market. And then the area that I opened up with, Obama and Brexit, UK must vote to stay in the EU.
Well, he's here to talk about ISIS, but I don't think anybody's really going to hear that because it's all about the Brexit. So.
Well, I know why he's here. He's here for the Her Majesty the Queen's birthday, and he wouldn't actually have come here, I think, if Michelle, his wife, didn't like the Queen so much.
Well, of course, they're going to have lunch today.
Exactly, so that's his main reason. So his thing about the EU, I don't think, is actually a serious point.
It does seem somewhat hypocritical as well, because I can't imagine he'd be thrilled if the shoe was on the other foot.
Well, yes, they should. If we started telling them to join up with Mexico and Canada and form a little union there, I don't think they'd like that very much either. But next slide, please. Mike's Morning Markets. Overnight, Asian markets retreat from a four-month high as Microsoft and Sony disappoint on earnings. Japanese yen weakens as the Bank of Japan reported to be considering extending negative interest rates. So it's back up above 110, which is quite a key psychological level. And then Goldman Sachs, those experts on commodities, say that the iron ore price will halve by year-end on burgeoning supply and stalling demand. Let's hope that prediction is better than its $200 a barrel on oil, which it suggested a little while back. 10 a.m. Right now, we've got Eurozone April composite PMI expected to improve from 53.1 to 53.2. And then the companies reporting later today in the U.S., GE and Caterpillar, which is both bellwethers for the U.S. economy.
Have you been following the earnings quite closely from last week? There's been some... it's about managing expectations, isn't it, I think?
It is. put the bar so low that you actually have a win.
Exactly. I think we've seen some of the banks doing that.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Next slide, please. Brexit could have global implications. US President Obama, three-day visit of the UK, says the UK must vote to stay in the EU, as we've already pointed out. The comments are hardly surprising since Brexit could trigger referendum calls across the globe. The EU could lose more members. The Catalans could call for independence. Well, they're already leaving, actually, ready to leave next year. And then increased calls for referendum in disputed territories like Kashmir, which is where my name comes from. Maybe I'll be their first president. Who knows? But on cable, pound dollar struggling to take out the inverted head and shoulders. 143.50 is the key level there, as you will have seen on my video, or you will see very soon on the video of the major markets. That's all of this from Dirty Economics.
Well, with a weakened pound and a stronger dollar, that's not necessarily a bad thing. So hopefully we'll get more, you know, get to do more exports.
Yes, I think the weaker pound is, you know, bring back some inflation to the economy, yeah. which is a good thing, especially from current levels, and also obviously helping exporters. But we have bounced off the bottom. 138 was the low there. So this is a key area, and I suppose it's a bit of a barometer on, you know, how people think the June 23rd vote will go.
Yeah, market sentiment, one to watch.
Right, next slide, we hope, is from Nicole Elliott from the Investors Chronicle. 5% off in after-hours trading. Shares in big household names dropped by 5% or more in after-hours trading in the US yesterday. All either missed estimated profits or warned against the outlook for business over the rest of this year. Alphabet, Google's parent company, Microsoft, Starbucks and Visa.
Alphabet down 7%.
Yeah, well, I think the other point is, which is, you know, if you look at it on the brighter side, there's been such a massive rally in the US since February. I think we're up sort of 10-15%. So it's a great example of, you know, better to travel than to arrive. So I wouldn't read too much into those giants, because most of them are doing rather well, especially Google at the moment. Nicole continues with the ECB meeting yesterday, where we had a visibly irritated Mario Draghi snapping back at his critics, insisting that their policies were supporting businesses and households. He warned them not to try and interfere with central bank independence, adding, "Any time the credibility of the central bank is perceived as being put into question, the result is a delay in the achievement of its objective, and then the need of more policy expansion. In fact, real rates today are higher than they were about 20 or 30 years ago." Interesting, yes, the difference between inflation and interest rates. Is inflation so low, or even, you know, deflation, then I suppose he's got a point. But he did sound rather draconian there.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's making many friends saying that, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
Okay, next slide, please. Forex open positions. People still great fans of silver, and more fans of silver than of gold, down there at 59%. Dollar-yen, they have been bullish all the way down, and now that it's rebounded, the clients of Rwanda are doing well, we assume. Shorting euro-sterling, which is back down from 81 pence, and also shorting euro-dollar as well at the moment. Right, a bit of charting to go through here. Dow Jones broke above 18,000 this week, the neckline of a double bottom formation over recent months. Expect retracement to test the new support level. Respect would signal an advance to 20,000, which is an incredible achievement given where we were 5 years ago, 7 years ago.
Absolutely. It's nice to see some positivity there.
Next slide, please. Dow Global Index. The Dow Jones Global Index is a primary downtrend, but headed for a test of resistance at 320. Breach of the descending trend line at 300 suggests that a bottom is forming. Reversal below 300 would warn of another test of primary support at 270. A higher trough would strengthen the reversal signal. So looking towards the 330, 340 there, I think, on that particular market. On to the S&P, where we've got this wonderful W shape for the last 6 months or so. 2100, the key resistance level, obviously. Reversal below 2000 would warn of another test of primary support at 1820 to 1870. But this does look rock solid at the moment, I would suggest. Euro stocks is in a primary downtrend, but advancing towards the descending trend line and resistance at 3,300. Rising money flow suggests medium-term buying pressure. Respect of resistance at 3,300 would warn of a test of primary support at 2,700. So a bit, we're sort of in a wide sweep there, but really with most of these markets favouring the upside still, even after all the gains we've seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
On that longer time frame. Dow Jones Asia, obviously the big recovery here from the January-February decline on the monthly chart. 2,950, the former support level should come in as resistance. Rising momentum is bullish, but a low peak above zero would warn that the primary downtrend is intact. So we really need to clear that 2,950 zone. Last chart of this section, the volatility index. Obviously, we had spikes last summer with the China crisis, further echoes in the autumn, but now people seem to be very calm indeed. No worries on the horizon. No worries about Donald Trump or Brexit or anything else. Amazing.
Well, wait for it. You know, the calm before the storm, perhaps.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll have to see how. Well, I suppose at these sorts of levels, you've got a situation where there's not much to lose as far as risk is concerned. It's a good hedge buying at these lower levels for people who are trading in the market.
Absolutely.
Right. I think that's the end of our slide selection. So end of the week, any particular takes that you've seen in the market? Is it all about Obama telling us off, or are there any market events that you stuck out in your mind?
There's so much been happening this week, actually. Obviously, the earnings I've been following closely, and I've been speaking to a lot of banker buddies about those. And again, they push forward. It's about managing expectations. Who knows if that's an excuse? I think it's interesting what's happening in Saudi issuing bonds. I don't know if you're following that.
Yes, just $10 billion. That's all. All they need.
Absolutely. But it's interesting because they haven't done it for 25 years. So we'll see if they don't have a history of repaying it. So we'll see what happens.
Well, my view is that they're actually quite dire financial straits, probably worse than they're letting on. But we'll see how that pans out. That's it for the opening segment of the Finance Show. We'll be back after the break.